Okay, I guess I think that's what people are. I'm guessing a lot of interest is on corn. What's going on there? Like in August, you're correct. When we're out there in August, when our enumerators are out in the field counting at our sample plots, what they're doing is they're counting stalks and if there's any ears being developed at that time. Well, in August, when we were out there, the end of July, first part of August. With this crop being so far behind, we had a lot of stalks. But there's a good relationship historically between stalks and ears. So we had a pretty good handle on the number of ears based on historic relationships. Well, this time when we were out there, we were still counting stalks again, but then the ears are much more along, so we're able to count ears throughout the season or throughout the samples. And the other thing that we're able to get is what we call a kernel row length, which is the measure of the, you know, the amount of grain on the cob itself, plus we were able to get a diameter as well. So that's the big thing, the big difference in September versus August going on out there in the field counts.
Your expectations in August, I think, were that this big crop would actually get bigger at that point. Is it merely the fact that the diameter isn't as large as expected? Is this really the reason?
Let's talk a little bit about that. In August, you know, we had a real, like I said, we had a really good idea of what the ears per acre are going to be, but then the idea on the fruit weight or the grain weight is going to be is pretty much a guess. In August, what's going to happen? So we have models that use the last 5 years as an indicator which way to go. So, again, it's based on historic information. And as we know, weather plays a big factor in what's going to happen with this corn crop or what's happened with this corn crop. So when we're out there in the end of August, first part of September, you're right. When we measure those ears around, they're quite a bit smaller than historically what we've seen at this time during that same data collection time frame, which leads one to believe it's a smaller ear, lighter grain weight going on there.
Are your expectations, and I know you really can't go too far into this, are your expectations for the size of this crop to maintain itself at this point, especially with the rainfall that we've come across in the last week and a half?
Yeah, that's a good question, Todd. I really can't tell you. You know, I'm sitting here right now. I'm waiting for data at the end of this month from our field people, and then the question is, what's going to happen? You know, I caution people to say, okay, well, it's not going to fill. I said, well, I don't know. In September, or from September to October in 2004, the crop filled out. Is this going to be the same year? I can't tell you. But right now, what our forecast right now is based upon the best information we have at time of data collection.
If you'd like to join our conversation with Joe Persaki this afternoon, who's the Director of Statistics Division at USDA NASS, please feel free to give us a call. The phone numbers are 217-333-9455. That's 217-333-WILL or 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. That one's toll-free, and you can help us talk with Joe Persaki this afternoon. He's with USDA NASS. We're talking about crop production. And what USDA NASS does in particular, maybe you could take up the bean side of this situation as well, because I'd like to know just how far along the bean crop appeared to be when we measured the last time around and where you think it may mature.
Yeah, when we talk a little bit about beans, one of the key things that's kind of surprising, I guess, with the current production practices in place was that we call them plants per 18 square feet, which translates in plants per acre, was quite a bit lower this year than we've had in, you know, recent years, like say maybe the last 3 to 4 years. And that could be a factor related to, you know, the factors that we had with, you know, the very wet spring through June going on there that could have affected the plant population. Well, if you've got less plants, you're going to have less pods per, or what we call 18 square feet or pods per acre, which is going to potentially limit your soybean yields because you just don't have enough pods there. And that's the one thing that, you know, that was a discussion that we had. Now, that historically, when you go back over time, when you had less pods, the beans were heavier. Well, now, you know, trying to look at the data and see what's going on, you know, it's hard to tell right now in September where it's going to be. If we have this discussion again in October, I will have very good information, most likely, from our field plots.
I know that this is outside of what NASS does, and it's more under the WASDE reports, but I'm wondering There's a lot of discussion about whether, and part of this is within your purview, whether last year's crop was overestimated in size, and this has to do with the WASDE reports and the continued drop in the number of bushels that will be fed out to livestock, and whether there's some adjustment there that's being made on the size of the crop that was actually harvested last year. Have you guys taken that up very much?
Not really. However, if there's any adjustments to be made to the size of the 2007 corn or soybean crop, those would be reflected in the grain stocks report that comes out at the end of September on the 30th. But you know, we've had, to be honest, yeah, there's been a lot of people that's called us and say, hey, what's going on, more so on the soybean side than the corn side, what's going on with soybeans.
And tell me, what is it, oftentimes we hear on Commodity Week, on our closing market report, and from farmers and producers and brokers in general, that the USDA NASS is just trying to make numbers fit the way that they'd like them to fit. how do you respond to those criticisms?
Okay, well, I can tell you from a NASS perspective, growing up as a kid down in Southern Illinois on a farm, people are very distrusting of government in general. That's the hand I'm dealt. But to be honest with you, not really. When we put out or publish a corn number, a corn yield, or soybean yield, it's based upon information that the farmers gave us, either via a survey that they filled out, or we telephoned and they sent us back information, or from us visiting their field plot. Sure, we look at the information, we look at relationships over time, but it's really the information that we get from farmers. Now, I know a lot of farmers say, hey, you know, it's none of your business what information you collect from me, or there's no reason to get this from me. But still, in the bigger picture, it impacts them because, just like we saw this last, was a Friday, with the grain prices that jumped up a bit, from the reports.
Well, why collect the information?
Why collect it?
Yeah.
I have good stories on this one. I thought about this a lot. When I was state director out in Iowa, farmers would always ask me, well, what's in it for me? Why do you collect this information? I'd be better off without USDA in my business. Well, I said, well, me personally, I'm a big free market promoter. I believe in economics. I was trained in economics. You have some good, it's not the University of Illinois, but the university down south there, Southern Illinois University. And I'm a firm believer in economics and economic theory. And one thing for efficient markets, that, for markets to be as efficient as possible, is to have as much information as possible. Because markets become very chaotic if information is held close, meaning that if you know something that I don't know, you can make a profit. And it's not necessarily good for everybody. But if everybody has the information, it allows for efficient markets. And I can tie that into a couple just anecdotal comments. What if it's like if you go to the grocery store and there's not a single item priced in the whole grocery store, and you don't have an idea that is it a better deal to get, a particular brand of cheese versus another brand of cheese. You don't have any idea. And you wouldn't know the price or how much you have to pay until you check out at the grocery store. Is that efficient? No. Then I argue, if you have to go to a meeting, okay, say you've got to go to a meeting down in Southern Illinois. Let's pick a town like down around Jonesboro or Anna, and you have to get there from Champaign there, Todd. There's no road signs. There's no speed limit signs, and you're expected to get down there. Well, those road signs and speed limit signs are information, and without information, you'll never get there. And how can producers, how can people in the industry get to where they want to go, get to their goals without information to allow for efficient markets?
Joe, we need to take just a couple of minutes off, and we'll be back to talk with you shortly, okay?
Excellent.
All right, Joe Persaki is the director of the Statistics Division at USDA NASS, joining us here on a Harvest Hour expanded edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll take your phone calls again in 2 minutes at 333-9455. That's a 217 area code, or 800-222-9455. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Thank you. here's how some of the numbers settled on a Monday afternoon in Chicago. We'll recap them very quickly for you. December wheat today at $7.27, up 7 3/4. The March at $7.49, 7 1/4 higher. May futures in Chicago from the wheat pit at $7.62, up 6 3/4 of a cent. In July at $7.72. The settlement price up 8.5 cents. $7.87.5 was the settlement for the September contract, 8 cents higher. December Kansas City wheat at $7.63.5, up 4 for the afternoon. And the March contract at $7.81.5, up 1.5. December corn at $5.62, a penny and a quarter lower. March contract at $5.80 1/4, down 1 3/4. And the May at $5.92, down 2.5 cents. July corn $6.25, down 4 1/4. Next year's December, down 6.5 cents at $5.92. November beans $11.79, down 23 cents. January at $23 1/4, lower at $11.94. And the November of next year settled at $11.59, down 28. October bean meal up 20 cents at $3.36.50. October bean oil at $46.08, $1.43 higher. Live cattle futures, October's $1.60 at $103.75, $1.60 higher. September's at $109.70, down 20 cents. And October lean hogs at $67.35, up $1.25.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Warden Martin Subaru in Savoy. At Subaru's assembly plant in Lafayette, Indiana, a zero landfill status is designed to save cost and our future environment. It is part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Information online at wardenmartin.com or 352-8910.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report, an expanded Harvest Hour edition. Our guest online with us from Washington, D.C., is with USDA NAS. His name is Joe Persaki. He joined us on Commodity Week last Friday and again this afternoon right here. Good afternoon to you, Joe. Thanks for staying with us this afternoon.
Well, thanks, Todd.
And when you get questions called into USDA NAS, do they usually come from producers or from traders, outside sources, elevators? Who normally calls?
Well, we get a lot of emails anymore. You know, it's not so many phone calls, but I do get phone calls. It depends. Like here in D.C., it's mostly emails from, I would say, like, I don't know if they're traders, but, you know, people in the market, in the industry, you know, like grain elevator operators, people that are trying to make decisions in Chicago, some of the folks that you interview on a regular basis. When I was in Iowa, we would get emails and phone calls from producers, what's going on and that sort of thing, more so like on the county estimates and that sort of thing late in the spring of the year.
What does USDA Stats Division beyond corn and soybeans, what kind of, and crop production, what kinds of stats do you collect?
Oh, jeepers. Hogs and pigs, if there's anything on hogs and pigs, that's us. That weekly crop progress report that comes out, it's going to be coming out here in just probably like 5 minutes or so, to buy, 7 minutes. That's the weekly, you know, what percent good to excellence. That's one of ours. Pretty much anything and everything there is to do about agriculture, we have a report on. And basically information comes from producers.
Now, why is it that they don't come out during trading hours?
Oh, jeepers. that's a good question. I've been asked that question. It's the whole reason is to allow the market in general, whatever that is, it's producers, it's the people, you know, in the pits and so forth, to digest the information before or after the markets, because sometimes it's chaos. You see how sometimes, like on the stock exchange, the New York Stock Exchange, where information midday will cause a particular stock to crater there in the day or come back up or so forth. Hearsay. You know, we want to provide information so everybody has a chance to digest it.
Well, because that's the case, how has new technology allowed you to reach out to producers and others interested in the marketplace directly? Do you have email, for instance, that goes
right
out?
When there's two ways. On the front end of the data collection process, the farmers can report their survey questionnaires via the internet, where they're given a password and a login. They can go in and record information and send it to us at their own leisure. And then at the end of the product, we do have the services where they can receive the reports via email directly to them, or they can go directly to our website. I mean, that's the best way to get information. And the other key thing is, A lot of the historic information is available on our website in the area called QuickStats, so you can look back over the past, you know, several years to see what's going on.
Mm. And your website is heavy enough to handle the traffic?
Oh, yeah. Yep, it sure is. It's very robust.
You had to upgrade it, though, to make it that way, didn't you?
Yeah, we had about, I think it was about 2 years ago, sometime in 06 sometime, we went and redid a lot of things on that. Yeah. Again, more and more people getting access to it, access to the Internet all the time.
Do you know how many people access it?
That's a question that I've asked, but I have not been given that information, and our folks that handle that, they promise that they're going to get it to me very soon. Well, whatever that means.
So when do you start collecting information then for the October crop report?
For the October crop report, the field work where the enumerators go out into the farmers' fields and start counting corn and beans and cotton down south would be around the 23rd, 24th of September. Our farmer survey, where we'll be either contacting by mail or by mail or by telephone, that starts about, say, the 29th or 30th of September. And usually that's got a sample size of about 20,000 across the United States. And we'll have that, you know, collected within probably about a week's time frame or so.
How far behind was the crop, corn and soybeans, this year? And when you factor that in, what should farmers see in the October report that they wouldn't, should they not see in the October report that
right,
they normally would?
Yeah, if you look at our weekly crop progress report, if you look at the comparison versus like this year versus the five-year average, and it varies from state to state, but it's about 10 to 12 to 14 days behind. I mean, I was just looking at the one table this afternoon, and that normally at this time we have some corn being harvested in the United States someplace, and right now we don't have any. So we're a little bit behind. And again, 10 to 12 to 14 days, depending where you are. Same thing with beans. It's probably 10 to 12 days behind. When we come into October, the thing I can say is we'll have a very, we being USDA and NAS, we'll have a very, very good or much better handle on, you know, that fruit weight, that grain weight, because we'll be taking samples from the field and sending it to the lab for testing.
So it'll be much more like a September report then?
I would say we're kind of in between. You know, we're kind of halfway between a normal September and October report.
And you'll get fruit weights. We'll have a much better idea of what really is out there.
Exactly.
And producers will you also be collecting at that point from the combine cab? Will you be able to get things like that, or do you collect such things?
What
actual weights?
We'll take samples from the field. We'll harvest.